Craft Beer Radio, episode 531, on January 19th, 2026. I stepped on it.
Yeah.
I stepped all over it. Oh, well. We used to be good at this thing.
If you were wondering, hey, did we forget about you guys? Because there was a while where we had no show being put in. We had three in the can. I thought we had three.
No, just two. We got down to three.
But
and then I lost the SD card because I took it on an airplane, and I don't know where it went to after that. So someone has an SD card with the lost. Well, it's not lost because we used the backup recorder, but with the raw footage for 5:30. Someone out there.
So if you're wondering why 5:30 sounds so bad, it was the backup recorder. And also, I didn't have my mic. So we use a secondary mic. And I guess that secondary mic wasn't recorded. So you just heard me everybody else's mic.
It wasn't
great. Oh, really?
Right.
So, oh, man.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But hey, we're back.
2026.
It's been a hectic year for both of us, especially the end of the year.
Yeah.
We both moved.
I should say three of us, but
yeah.
Both parties.
Yes.
Ooh, that was a pop. I forgot the pop filters on our mics.
Pop. Yeah. Pop.
I knew something was missing. Don't talk right into the microphone. Talk beside it.
Oh.
Okay.
Otherwise,
it's going to be a very.
So, should I talk out of the side of my mouth or should I talk facing the other direction?
Okay. It's going to be a very poppy episode if we don't. The beers tonight are all beers that I brought back from Belgium. We brought back from Belgium. Oh. Shannon and I went on a trip to Belgium with Brewery Ardennes.
Yeah.
The 2nd through the 12th of January. If you were on the Discord or on the social, on my socials, you might have seen some of the stuff. But let's get into this first beer. One of the breweries we went to is St. Bernardus. They're in West Flanders, out in the countryside. And this is their Pater 6, which is not one of their like core distributed lineups. This is one that they make at the pub. I'm not sure how widely distributed it is. It is because the 8 is their normal double. You know, it has like the typical gravity of 8, right? So you imagine 8 means like 8-9%, something right, like that, right? This 6 is also a darker Belgian Abbey style beer. I really like this one, so I want to showcase it on the show. I won't say right now with what I tasted and whatnot. Let's just go into it and taste it.
St. Bernardus is, from what I've seen, the ABC 12 is one of the most available like Belgian style quads you can find in Belgian beer.
Pretty available. There's a whole story with St. Bernardus. Up until the early to mid 90s, they brewed the beer labeled Westfalitrin, the monks basically contract brewed out to St. Bernardus. Hmm. And then in the 90s, they wanted to take back and kind of strengthen the Trappist brand, where now it has to be overseen by a monk and brewed inside the walls of the abbey. Hmm. So they took it back, canceled the contract, and St. Bernardus fell in hard times and had to build their own brands. And it's so funny, in the tour's kind of this video museum thing. It's not like your typical brewery tour. And they paint the monks as the villains of the story. It's so funny. They make the monks sound like assholes.
I mean, I can't, like, there are definitely asshole monks out there.
There has to be. Yeah. I mean, because there's an asshole everywhere, right?
It takes all kinds. It's not like everybody who's, you know, who's a monk is an amazing person.
So this beer pours a brown color. It's somewhat hazy. It did foam up when I capped it.
Yeah, it did.
Just went in the fridge like right before we started doing the pre-show. And, you know, it went on an airplane ride, so it's only been sitting upright for, I don't know, a week or so.
Yeah.
So
this is brewed according to the classic double style with a recipe that dates back to 1946, which is not that long ago in terms of like if you're talking about like history of beer, 1946 is not like 1500 or something like that. 6.7%. And
all right. So aroma wise, I'm actually not getting I'm getting over a head cold, but I'm not smelling much on this.
I'm not either.
I'm getting a little bit of nuttiness, a little bit of.
Give it a swirl, try to wake it up a
weirdly, little. Weirdly, I was going to say weirdly lagery things, but then that went away. I mean, this is a top fermenting yeast. Oh, yeah, swirling
it changes it completely.
Maybe a little bit of like nutmeg or something like that. I'm getting some like warming spice thing going on. But I'm also getting, maybe it's, you know, now that I'm really digging into it, more crackery, more.
Graham cracker.
Yeah, graham cracker, like toasty flavors.
Well, that sucks. This beer is light struck.
Is it?
It is.
Can you turn that burner off behind you? Thanks.
Yes, you taste it? That's the main thing I'm tasting. When we had it on draft at the brewery, it had this like great like fruitcake kind of thing going on.
No, it's light struck. It doesn't taste anything like the one we had on tap.
Weirdly, I'm not tasting isoprene number captains. I'm tasting cardboardiness. I'm tasting
more of an oxidation.
Yeah, oxidation.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like the flavor feels kind of empty.
Can the pressure of the plane do that somehow?
No, it shouldn't be.
No, it's pretty. It's pressurized in the bottle, so it should.
Shouldn't this was sitting it. On the shelves in the gift shop at the brewery, and I did notice that the sun was like shining in at points, and I tried to grab a bottle from the back, but I don't think it's actually like. It's not skunky because it's not a very hoppy beer, but yes. There are some of those, some of the flavors that I'm a little more tuned into right now because I had some saisons and green bottles kind of thing, you know, like that kind of skunky, you know, as opposed to like IPA skunky.
Yeah, it doesn't have that.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, it's almost flavorless.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is the flavor has been leached out.
That's by wild. I figured got this at the brewery.
And,
and this was a Euro 40,
actually my
which was
favorite
like $1.60.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
That was actually my favorite one from St. Bernardus when we were there and drinking them on tap, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's like, to me, it's not undrinkable, but it doesn't have much going for it.
Yeah. It actually tastes like a 6.5%. Actually, it tastes like a 4%.
Yeah. Yeah, it tastes almost like a session ale. I don't taste any skunking, and
it's so bland compared to the draft.
Those were captains are detectable at a billion, you know, a particle in a billion.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether light struck is the right thing, but definitely oxidized.
It's watered down.
Yeah.
Damn it. I mean,
so dumb.
It is.
I thought, you know, because the draft beers I had there at the Bar Bernard, so good. And I'm like,
phenomenal.
Man, this is like totally changed my opinion of St. Bernardus because I've had plenty of St. Bernardus when the Sharp Edge was around. Sharp Edge was a bar, several bars here in Pittsburgh that specialized in Belgian beer. So, and they closed down in 2021 or 2022. COVID fallout kind of thing, and kind of one of those you don't know what you had until it's gone kind of things, because looking for Belgian beers in this area now, it's way more harder to find these things. But I never had a huge like, oh yeah, St. Bernardus is a good brand kind of vibe,
right?
And then we went there and the beers were spectacular, and
maybe it's really just the thing where they don't have a good bottling line, you know.
I'm thinking it's probably more so that these were
sitting
in the
out
gift shop for
because
too long.
It was all windows on that front side.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't bode well for the other St. Bernard. Yeah.
No,
you maybe
it doesn't.
Want to do a sub for.
Well, I want to compare that to.
But
the
it's
last
not. Beer. Do you think it's going to be an honest comparison?
Well, they're supposed to be like the same formulation. So that's kind of what I wanted. This.
I mean, give it a shot.
Might as well. We'll add another beer if it. We're unsatisfied. Why don't you?
There's no reason to like.
Why don't you see if you can crack that code there? See how old that bottle is. I don't know if the internet in front of you can help you figure that code out.
I don't want to.
No? Okay.
Let me see.
It just says 8/2027, which is the best buy date. So.
I see. I didn't even recognize the 8/2027.
You didn't?
I thought it was a code.
I
thought it was like a Julian date code kind of thing.
So that's the best buy date.
Yeah, so our trip to Belgium was freaking awesome. Everything was as good as we had thought. We did not get to go to the cafe Indevriet, which is that cafe next to West Vlietren, because they were closed for winter holiday. The week after New Year's, or at least like the week after the weekend after New Year's. Mm-hmm. So many places shut down for a week or two for give their staff a break.
Sometimes even longer.
Yeah, so we didn't get to go there. And there was probably like five other breweries. And I wouldn't have had time to go to all five of these. But there was five that were reasonably ones like, oh, we can go there. Oh, they're closed too. You know, that kind of thing happened a bunch. But yeah, we went to St. Bernardus on our kind of a free day. We tug along with Derek, the brewer from Brewery Ardennes.
And his wife.
His wife, Stacy. And yeah, like I said, the beers were fantastic. It was a fun trip. We stopped at a second brewery, just some no-name place, some guy just trying to get off the ground, doing the hustle.
It was great.
He was so friendly. And it was our first vibe of like, how do these people feel about Americans at this point in time? And the general vibe seemed to be that if you're traveling in here, you must be the cool Americans, not the ones that aren't cool. So everyone was very friendly. And then the very first day was wild. You know, you probably had to do this in Japan, your trips to Korea and Japan to stave off jet lag. But, you know, you basically land and like the goal was stay up till 8:30 at night, you know, and
that was the hardest. We were falling asleep at dinner at 4:30 in the afternoon.
We're sitting at our
table. At a table in a restaurant or a brewery. And nodding off.
Yeah,
that was so hard. Funny, but we managed.
We had a second wind and went to the bar.
Oh, that's the night we went to the bar. Stayed up till
like 10:30. So
yeah, and that was the only time that we experienced somebody being an asshole. Mm. Like, you know, in the service person.
Yeah,
the bartender. He wasn't an asshole. He was just not friendly and. When we walked in, as soon as we sat, I didn't even get situated in my seat. And he says, what do you want to drink? Oh, I didn't even know what they had. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I need a minute to look at, you know, what you have. He's like, ugh. And he tossed the bar towel across the room. Like,
oh, God.
Pissed off at me.
That sounds like dang. That sounds like those like Chicago hot dog places or like those places or the delis where you're in a line and you don't know.
You're there for 20 minutes and you haven't figured out what you want yet by the time you go up there and you're like, oh, I need a minute. Yeah, exactly. It was.
Careful. We use my pocket knife for the opener because.
I'm taking the tape off.
But he's using the knife part right now to take the tape off, and it just wanted to be careful he didn't cut himself.
For sure.
Yeah, he's already got a hole in his hand.
Poked a hole yesterday. Or 2 days ago.
By a rose.
Oh, that's sweet.
Isn't it? He got kissed by a rose. No, it was a metal rose.
Our second brewery is a French brewery. We visited this. This is Brasserie Thierrier.
Oh, and we have to tell them how we got there.
This isn't the snow one.
Oh, I thought it was. No. Oh, no. Oh, that's a different one. Okay, yeah.
All right. This is one Derek, the brewer from Ardennes, did a collab brew with Thierrier.
Yeah.
So we went over there. This one's foaming up, too.
It's Derek from the... It's
making things foamy.
Plain.
This place does a bunch of collaborations. They had a collab there with Jester King. They had a collab there with, I'm drawing a blank now. But I thought, you know, we're going to a brewery in France. It's just going to be a Beer de Garde, Saison, Beer de Garde. Mm-hmm. And they had quite the variety of stuff. This is their, I thought this was the organic triple, but this is just the
biologique.
It is organic. Yeah, organic Belgian triple made in France.
They brew 100% biological beer.
Oh, really?
That's what they say, yeah. Which, I mean...
Well,
no, isn't all beer biological?
Yes.
No, okay. No, it means organic.
I think it means organic is what they mean.
No, I actually asked someone if that's what it meant. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you were up there talking to the...
Well, no.
But again, what does organic mean?
Well, right. But no, I asked in a translation way. When we were at Lambic Fabrique, I asked the guy if bio... meant organic.
I mean, like really, like what does organic mean? And it can mean various different things.
Well, I mean one of the biggest things for me, what I think about is that they don't use pesticides.
That's in general a concept, but I don't think that applies everywhere. I think that sometimes they may use more natural pesticides or something like that, right? I mean, Or ones that are approved mm-hmm. under certain things yeah. that aren't. Like, there's so many different ways. Like, I don't think that it may be different in the EU. I know that in America, the word organic is not regulated.
I don't know. I've never. You don't I think assumed so? It was. I never looked into it.
I'm pretty sure it's not regulated.
Oh. So they can just label it organic.
Yeah. Huh. Well,
this episode of Craft Beer is certified organic.
It is. All right. Three organic creatures are delivering to you.
I don't know. There's a lot of...
Yeah, so Thierrier was this really small brewery. Brewery is kind of just in a post building out back. Their tasting room was cute and small. Mm-hmm. They had a bunch of beers on.
It was cozy.
It was nice because they're like, okay, you get to taste two beers. Or was it three beers? And then they didn't care. And I got to taste the entire
lineup. We tasted all the stuff.
And it was super cool. We'll have a bunch of more Thierrier beers in future shows I brought back. Not everything that they had, but
a lot
of it. So
it was a really good brewery. And I even bought a t-shirt from there.
That's someone with the can getting smashed. Is that one?
Yeah. Okay. That red one.
To correct myself, the USDA organic label means it's certified to grown on soil that has no prohibited substances applied for 3 years prior to harvest.
Oh, prohibited. But everything... There's nothing that's prohibited now. Right. So, I mean, the word organic is going to mean nothing from this day forward. Yeah, I mean,
because
could have put DDT on it 4 years ago.
Right. Uh-huh.
All right. So this is a Belgian triple. This one looks like a hazy IPA.
Corruption is legal again, everybody.
Yeah.
Stuff hasn't settled enough from the trip. This one looks like a hazy IPA.
It does.
It's super cloudy.
On their website, this is how they describe the beers they have. Instead of like a necessarily get, they have like a dial.
Oh. Okay.
So in terms of light versus strong, this is all the way in strong.
Oh.
Pale versus dark, this is about, I'm going to say about 1/6 of the way.
So like if you were looking at a clock and 12 was the darkest or whatever.
It's not. It's like a fuel gauge. It's more like a fuel gauge. Yeah.
You're like at a quarter of a tank on this one?
You got... Something like a quarter of a tank, maybe even less, maybe a sixth of a tank. And the same thing for sweet / bitter, like a sixth of a tank. Mm-hmm. So it's more on the sweet side, more on the pale side, very much on the strong side. Mm-hmm. Full tank on strong.
A full tank on strong.
Oh, boy.
What's the percentage of ABV
on
this?
The percentage is
8.5. Oh. Pretty average for... when we were there.
Yeah.
They had
but that's kind of low for most of the Belgian beers.
They had a triple pepper, but it wasn't peppers. It was peppercorn. So it was black pepper, white pepper. We didn't get this one. And I don't know if it was Szechuan for the third pepper or if it was something else, but that was like the...
It was interesting.
It was interesting. I don't know if it was delicious.
No.
But it was also like cooking with it or having it with like a roast or something. It would be like... A very good pairing. Mm.
Yeah. But it only came in the large bottles, didn't it? And so.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't, I didn't like it enough to say it's worth the wait in carrying it home.
Yeah. My nose is not working well. I can't smell much on this one either.
I just took a taste.
I taste apricot.
Yeah. The yeasty bit is kind of filled out the body.
Yes. It's very yeasty.
Yeah, so I think the lesson to this is you have to let the beers in the down there settle.
We need to not drink any more of them until next month or longer.
Yeah, we'll have to make sure. Well, these ones just went in the fridge, so we'll have to make sure that we have beers we want to do in the fridge, let them settle for a couple weeks, things like that. Keep the yeastiness down.
Do we want to scratch the rest of them that we're planning on having tonight?
Probably a good idea.
And move to something different?
Pause this and call an audible.
I don't want to
power through because actually the next two of the next three beers are kind of marquee beers.
Yeah, actually, the last three.
No, the middle one's not really.
Well, we don't
know for sure.
But two of the next three for sure. They're. Yeah. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the kind of beers that people are expecting us to drink when we come back from Belgium.
Yes.
So we're going to save those to make sure they're properly chilled and decanted and everything like that. Okay, so this beer, it doesn't taste bad,
but
it is very yeasty. It's not as bright as a Belgian triple typically is. It almost comes across like a mix between a triple and a Hefeweizen, you know, because it has a kind of smoother mouthfeel, smoother body to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's taste the beer in the glass. This is a fun experiment, right? Even though it's not necessarily...
I'm missing a lot of that sweetness, right? I feel like that's being overwhelmed by the yeastiness.
I got a lot of sweetness. It's kind of a... it's kind of a sugary... It makes me think
no,
of...
No, it's like, there.
It makes me think of gumballs.
But I feel like the yeast is overwhelming the sweetness and it's pulling it back.
I taste apricot pie. Hmm. That's what I taste.
I see the apricot. Like,
with a lot of crust.
Yeah.
Because of the yeastiness in it. But no, the apricot and the sweetness from those, the sugar that you would put in the pie.
I'm getting the flour. I can't get the apricot.
Really?
What I'm getting is a lot of bubble gum, like a gumball. Like, it comes out of a machine, you're chewing on a gumball. That's kind of what I'm tasting.
I'm more on the apricot side than the gumball side. But I think that in general, triples have that kind of apricot-y thing.
I need to move away from my mic.
Just talk beside it.
Yeah. I'm not used to
maybe,
that.
Maybe when we get another beers, we can also find the pop filter.
Yes, we should do that too.
Just so bad at this anymore. I used to be good.
You're not bad at it.
Well, I mean,
this is an impromptu show too. Since last year,
yeah.
I mean,
we only did what, 4 shows last year.
Yeah.
I think we plan on, now that the move's over and stuff, I think we
want to do at least 1 show a month if we can swing it.
Let's go for 8 to 10.
I would love it. No. 12? I think we need to do a minimum of 12.
Okay.
I mean, we can set a goal.
Yeah. And I think that's a reasonable goal.
I think it's doable.
I was looking at when I was working on posting the show and stuff, I was looking at this. I think our busiest year was 36 episodes.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. It was early on. It was probably before Allie was born.
Yeah.
36 episodes.
Yeah. There was a lot of like, hey, come up for a show. I mean, there was... Mm-hmm.
No, I thought at one point we were doing one every weekend.
There was a point we were doing it.
I would always say mostly weekly, but I don't know if we did more than 36. I have to double check, but that's caught my eye as the year that we did the most shows. So, all right, let's pause and find some new beers.
Yeah.
I didn't even rate these.
All right, we're back. We called the audible, new beers. First one I want to do is one of my... So I bought a 12-pack of Mad Elf for Christmas, as one does, right?
As one should.
And I messed up. I screwed up bad that I only got a 12-pack because it was, I think, the 26th. I went around looking for more Mad Elf.
Gone.
Completely gone.
Everywhere.
So.
I even searched.
So I bought this evil genius, Santa, I know him, which is a festive saison. And this is, I saved this can from that 6-pack.
Brewed with rose hips, chamomile, black currants, and dark candy syrup.
So I kind of wanted to share 7.2% this with all of you.
18 IBU. One thing we should mention, you mentioned Sharp Edge closing. Very recently, a brewery, big brewery closed.
What?
Rogue Ales.
Rogue.
Oh.
Rogue Ales and Spirits.
It's funny, I was talking with Scott Smith from East End Brewing about that. And apparently... My impression, and I would assume your impression because you grew up in the same craft beer world that I grew up in, is that they were a pretty big player. They weren't. They were just pretty available here in Pittsburgh. Scott made it sound like, no, they were definitely a regional play that happened to be here.
Interesting.
Through, you know, Luther and then Führer. So, yeah, because like one of my baptisms into craft beer was Rogue Shakespeare Stout. You know, it was just one of those ones, one of the very first ones I've ever had, you know, and probably my first stout besides Guinness. It was Rogue Shakespeare Stout.
Interesting.
And yeah, to hear that they weren't like as big as Stone, which, you know, even, you know, Stone got pretty big when they sold, but, you know, even before it surprised me because it just wasn't my perspective on the thing.
I remember Rogue being, I was always like, Rogue is always 8 out of 10. They're never better than that. That was my big thing against Rogue.
Yeah. Yeah, they... I don't know if I'd give them 8. They could reach 8, but I would say they were usually like...
8 was their max.
Yeah, for sure. They had that chocolate stout, which was one of the best uses of chocolate, you know, in that era. They made the best use of chocolate.
It still didn't crack it above an 8 for me.
Yeah.
Another thing that was funny is that I meant to bring it, but I completely forgot about it. In moving, I found this big keychain full of all these keychains from like the breweries, and I was going to bring them and see like which ones still exist. Which ones one of them is Breckenridge. I know that's gone.
Yeah, I think so. It's hard. It's so hard to keep track which ones are around and which ones aren't.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how many breweries that I've been to, because, you know, I keep track on my Google Maps. I star them. And so now I'm at, I think I'm at 420 right now. I should go find a cannabis-based brewery now. So, but, yeah, it's like, how many of those are closed? All right, so Santa, I know him.
It's a very cold beer.
They're all going to be cold. Yeah, they came right out of the fridge.
Mm-hmm. I smell a sweetness, but I can't place what that sweetness is. It's kind of
there's rose hips, chamomile, black currants, dark candy syrup.
That's wild to me. I didn't read the label. I didn't know any of those extra adjuncts were in there. I just thought this is a good Belgian flavored beer when I was drinking it before. So now I'm drinking it with a whole new perspective of chamomile and things like that.
Ooh, that's got a lot of flavor.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I've had other beers from Evil Genius. They're not like in my, you know, super high tier but when I tasted this one, I was like, okay, time to make sure I keep my eyes open with the brewery, because I'll try to, you know, we'll talk about what we're tasting here, but this one's a banger.
I don't know, banger, not bad, a little too sweet for me. Like, it did have Madhouse sort of syrupiness.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's why I was looking for something to replace
Madhouse, because you were going through withdrawals.
No, it's so sad.
Yeah, you were. I felt really bad. I tried so hard to find you some, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I feel like the rose is a little too strong, but the black currants are fighting a mighty fight.
Okay.
But I feel like the rose is a little sweet.
I do like how there's a kind of a strongness that kind of dries it out a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think it's the right amount of sweet.
It is a festive saison. So sure. You know, step yourself back 30 mm-hmm. days mm-hmm. in time and imagine it then.
Speaking of which, I want to thank you guys for coming to my graduation, improv graduation class. Oh,
that was so cool. That was really fun to watch.
Yeah, that was.
You were great.
I thought I sucked, but hey.
No. I think everybody did great, really, and it was a lot of fun. I'm excited to see what the end of the next session is, because
I really think that the true test is going to be the end of the third one, because that's Harold's structure. That's sort of the big, the real starting point of actually doing a real improv show.
So it's either you got it or you don't at that point.
I mean,
you've got all the tools now. So either you're able to use them or you're not.
Well, no, I think that to a certain extent, it's still gonna not be like amazing as a improv show could be, but it's, you know, it's still like people who are they're not pros.
Well, for example, you mentioned to me like, I was waiting for a callback, like from the beginning of the show at the end. And you mentioned how, like, actually in your 101s, callbacks wasn't part
of
the curriculum, which kind of surprising to me. It seems like, you know, a good way to kind of, I'm just surprised that's a more advanced or maybe it's not even called a callback. And
no, it's definitely called a callback. And it's certainly going to be, I mean, though Harold is about callbacks. But... No, the focus of 101 is really two-person scenes for the most part. We got into, like, the very end of class. The last two episodes of class is when we actually did another person coming, like, tag-ins. Or not even tag-ins, but just coming in and adding briefly. And it's all about just the mechanics of what you're doing and how you're establishing your relationship on stage and how you're feeding information to each other and feeding off each other on stage.
Oh, okay.
It's just a lot of stuff to kind of get in your head and practice and work on. It's hard for me to like give you a brief summary because it was eight courses, but it's very much about listening and also like coming up with things and just then leaning into what you've found.
Yeah, it was So, like, in your skit where you started about the pottery kiln, right? Mm-hmm. And your partner came in and she was trying to signal that there was just a clutter of pottery everywhere.
Yeah.
And she was stepping over it. But it there was a misconnection there, yes. Right? You know, that kind of thing. And in hindsight, it's super clear. But, like, in the moment, it's like you almost have to be vibing with the person to be able to, like.
It is one of those things that it's so much easier. And we talked about this in class all the time. It's so much easier to watch a scene and be like, oh, I know what I do. I know what I do. I know what I do. And then to be in the scene.
Yeah.
And find that.
Yeah. That's the case with anything, really.
And when it happens, it's great.
Yeah.
And I know for sure that it's just practice, mm-hmm. work. And those things will develop. Those muscles will develop. So, yeah, I am scheduled. My second class starts, 201 starts February 9th.
Nice.
And the show will be April 4th.
Okay.
We should be.
I think we'll be in town then. Yeah.
By then.
Yeah, definitely would love to go watch it again. I kind of wanted to stay around for the afternoon class too, but then I think that was we said
we were trying to get ready.
Yeah. We had to wrap up some things at the house for you and stuff like that. Like, I'll just regret it. Oh, that's when I hung the vent hood, right? And
yeah.
Like if that didn't.
Oh my gosh! And that ended up being a late night.
Yeah, that turned into a bit of a project.
Because I stopped by later and you guys were still
at it. We were still working on everything, yeah. So it was a good thing we didn't stay for that second
show. Only one trip to Home Depot, so that was a win.
That was only because that I was already at Construction Junction.
That was funny, yeah.
And you called me.
So the reason that Jigsaw was in the box is because that one stopped working. And I called Shannon. I was going to have her go to Home Depot and buy a battery-powered jigsaw that goes with the battery, the Milwaukee battery system we got drills for and stuff for this year. And she was like, I'm at Construction Junction. They have old tools there. And there was like a $4 jigsaw. Like, so she got me. So now I have another $4 jigsaw. But it's better than the one I had. So
yeah, it was great. It was like, can I ask the people? I'm like, can I plug this in somewhere to make sure it works? Because it was so cheap, you know? And they're like, yeah, there's an outlet right here, and plugged it in, and it worked. I was like,
as long as it worked just for that job,
that's all we needed it for was that one thing. Yeah. And
now I'm going to have it for the rest of my life, probably.
Yeah, because, they don't make them like they used to, so that one probably outlive us.
Yep. All right. Anything else to say about Santa? I know him. You've been drinking, Shannon. What do you think?
I really like it. I think it has the right amount of sweetness. I mean, I'm thinking about considering the beer and what I would expect from this type of a beer. It's got the right amount of sweetness. It's got that straw taste to it too, but I think it balances out really nicely. Typically, I don't like that straw.
Yeah.
Strawy, you know, hay, whatever, farm taste as much, but I think it balances really nicely. Yeah,
I like it. I think I liked it better when I wasn't thinking critically about it. It's one of those.
That's exactly what I was thinking to myself. I was thinking of adding that is my complaints are microscope complaints. Yeah. I don't think I would be complaining like this if
it's,
you just.
It's one of those things. There's been so many times back in the day when bombers were a thing, it was just Greg and I, we'd have so much leftover beer. That's why we have all those bottle stoppers, you know, those little, like that pink bottle stopper that's in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes Greg would take some home, but oftentimes I'd have them and I would just drink the rest of them throughout the week.
Yeah.
And there'd be so many times where I'd just pop one and when I'm watching TV or something and be like, damn, that's good compared to on the show where it was lukewarm.
Yeah. You're like, this is probably like a D or, you know.
When you're trying to make content out of it. And it's like, I want to be poetic about tasting this beer and you can't be poetic about it. It kind of takes a hit. Meanwhile, when you're just drinking it, you're like, yeah, that's good. If I don't.
When it's not the prime focus of your attention, it's generally it's a nice, you know, accompaniment to whatever it is you're doing. Mm-hmm. When it's the prime focus of your attention, you are going to find every little flaw that's there.
Yep.
And we've done that so many times. Yep. I mean, just since I've been on the show, we've done that a lot. You know, we've brought back beers that we thought were fantastic, but they ranked
really
on the show. Low.
It's interesting how that works, you know? Like, yeah, this one's good here. And I thought, like, yeah, for an Evil Genius beer, this beer's great when I was drinking it the other day.
Where is Evil Genius anyway?
Near Philly somewhere.
So when you take me out, where were you going to take me in Philly?
No, they're in Philly. Oh, Monk's Cafe.
We got to
take you to Monk's Cafe. So
we should make a road trip. Do the three of us take a road trip out there?
One of the couples on the trip was Mike and Karen, right? I think it was Karen. Sorry, Mike, if I get Karen's name right.
Yeah.
We were talking about different beers, and Pizza Boy came up, and they're like, we live 2 miles from Pizza Boy.
Mm.
Oh, you should have seen the expression on my face when Jeff got my attention and said, Shannon, what did you say? Guess where they live or something?
I said...
I
told them to watch your reaction. And then I said, Shannon, they live 2 miles from Pizza Bowl or something. I think that's what it was. I don't know. It was deep into beers.
I was like, what?
Shannon's first time to Pizza Boy.
Heavenly. She
was one of those. It was one of those epiphany moments for you because you were still fresh-faced newbie kind of thing, and you had the Sunny Side Up, which is their coffee oatmeal stout.
It was so good.
And I just remember like that was one of the times where you were like, oh,
I just saw Jesus.
All right. So this next beer is from Origin Brass, which was the name of the brew pub when we were up in Montreal. This is the place we stopped for lunch on the way back once we landed back in North America. This is their Paradigm Emerald.
Which one are we on?
Origin Brass.
Oh, okay. You just skipped down. Okay. No, got it.
Did I mention it?
I have it. I just had it way down.
It says Oublong's 100% Quebecois. So all Quebec hops. So.
Yay, Canada.
Blame Canada.
No, I didn't say that. I said yay, Canada.
It's a South Park reference. 5.5% alcohol by volume.
Mm-hmm.
They do specify in the label that this is beer.
In fact, it is very much beer because here's what the ingredients are: water, malted barley, hops, yeast.
Oh, it's right. That's good.
Mm-hmm. They call it Emerald Spire and Paradigm hops grown here in Quebec by Duke 25 Hops.
This is definitely a very hoppy beer.
It has an herbal kind of hoppiness to it.
It does.
It's a little bit of. Almost like it's not as mentally as eucalyptus, but it's almost like eucalyptus. And
I'm not tasting it yet. I'm trying to figure out. Is it tarragon?
Yeah. We haven't tasted it yet. We're just smelling. Now I'm getting more citrus, like more.
We'll see if it gets anisey because tarragon is a note that I'm getting, but tarragon is
really anise is what I'm. No, that is exactly what I'm smelling. Getting kind of orange, anise,
orange zest, orange pith right now. Finally, my nose is working. That's cool. And it's a beer worth talking about. That's cool. And we didn't have this beer when we were there.
And actually, when you bought that beer, I thought you were buying it for me for the bus, and you were being really nice. And I was like, oh, he's so awesome. And the couple that was with us was like, oh, he did buy you beer for the bus.
I'm like, it's for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It has...
That is like
still herbal.
It's herbal with like stone fruit. It's like peach, but with parsley.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
No, you're not.
You're actually quite right.
It's got a very herbal taste.
The body on the beer is a little bit lighter than your typical American or at least Pittsburgh area hazy IPA.
Yeah.
Feels a little thin.
Now, if you had me blindfolded, I don't even know if I would. Yeah, I guess I would say it was an IPA.
Let me point out something, though.
Yeah.
It's definitely
the bitterness grows after the second sip, too. It's quite bitter.
Ingredients say water, malt, barley, hops, yeast. In the description, they say we twin this with Quebec-grown malts and oats.
Oats?
Oh, maybe it's malted oats. Oh, it just said barley, though.
So. Yeah, from Inno Malt for a smooth, light sensation. But so does oats, doesn't that break the Reinheim's kaput?
It would. They don't claim Reinheim's kaput.
Does it what?
They don't, but they say ingredients are water, malt, barley, hops, and yeast, but they said oats in the description.
Break the what?
The Reinheim's kaput is the old, like, 1500 German law that said that beer, if it's a beer, it has to be only made of water, barley, and hops.
Oh.
And they didn't know what yeast was at the time. But
so I think
later on the label, when they understood,
I think it says Eau on the label. It's in French, but I think the third or fourth one, the Flacons de whatever, I think that's probably oats.
You know, French is a very hard language to figure out.
It has ingredients there in English right under it. Oh. And does say water, malted barley, flaked oats, hops, and yeast.
I like the original translations. I don't like this after, like, I want to go with the original text. You get more detail out of the original text when you learn the language.
Jeff, this is the second time you missed something.
I'm a big dum-dum? Yeah, I'm not good at this anymore. I told you.
No, you are. You're great at this, but tonight you're not really on.
It's been a while.
It's a joke. I'm going to continue to go down with them. I'm a big dum-dum. I'm not good at this.
What was the phrase that you said all the time when we were in Belgium? Excuse me, I'm an idiot.
Oh, and we were watching, travel. We were watching travel videos, like for Belgium and
before
stuff.
We went. Yeah,
and there was this guy that very personable that Shannon liked. So I caught one of his videos that wasn't specifically a Belgium video, but it was French. And he's like, "Here's this phrase you need to use when you're in France and need help." And it's "Excusez-moi, je suis."
It's me, Mario.
"Excusez-moi, je suis un idiot," which is, "Excuse me, I'm an idiot." Mm-hmm. And then it's, "I don't speak English. Can you help me?"
Mm.
And
he said that so many times.
Not to trip. A person.
Not but, to a person. Just in. Not, just when we were sitting.
Like
when we were sitting at the table having lunch or something with a group and stuff.
Whenever something silly. Yeah. Like
yeah.
When I was being a dummy. Mm-hmm. "Excuse me, je suis un idiot."
"You are tearing me apart, Lisa."
Okay, we get it. You got a soundboard.
I'm just trying to find quotes. I'm trying to find quotes.
I have a soundboard too.
That are good for this.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. My least favorite part of the show is the sounds right now. So this beer,
no, it's
actually
definitely
better
interesting.
Than a lot of the beers we had at lunch that they had on tap.
The herbalness
I only
is
had
starting
one
to,
and it
to
was
grow
really
on
great.
Me. The herbalness is starting to grow on me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The bitterness is there. There's the citrusy mm-hmm. thing that pokes through. This is a good balance.
Okay. Sip three. I taste citrus. Finally, I didn't taste that in sip one or two.
It's kind of like a pineapple orangey thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At first I was thinking like orange zest, orange pith, but now pineapple's a good call for mm-hmm. sure.
Definitely. There's definitely it's not tannin. I guess it's pithy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It dries you out. I mean, it has the same kind of mouth effect as tannins.
Yeah.
You know, like makes you pucker.
It's juicy, yeah.
Yeah. Tastes like I need a lot of water. Yeah.
This one turned around. This is a good pick. Thanks,
it
Jeff.
It is.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
You might be good at this.
I mean, you are good at this.
You have to say that. You're legally obligated to say that.
Not
it's
really.
It's in our contract.
I can tell you, you suck.
I wouldn't have done 500 shows with you if you weren't good at this.
Oh, well, thank you.
Aww.
I'm not fishing for compliments. I wanted you to
that was so
double
sweet.
Down on the you suck. You're not worth. All right. This beer is a beer we actually want to finish, so I'll talk a little bit more about the Belgium trip.
How about we do this?
What's up?
We did bring something back, and we literally we had all good intentions of getting, I got it. I've already got it out.
Oh.
I have all good intentions, or we had all good intentions of bringing things back for everybody, but we sucked. Because we ended up going to, on our last free day when I was going to do shopping, it was pouring down rain.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to call an audible.
We went to a Lambic brewery and sat there for 3.5 hours.
Yeah. So anyways,
it turns out
that the only shopping that we did was something that we were like, well, we got to get this for Greg.
Oh.
And so.
That reminds me, there was one thing that I forgot to bring to you, which was because last time I was here, and I guess I can bring them back. You got me ant.
Oh yeah, the ant sauces. Yeah.
So I found in the that place you were telling me about the Ensign Fresh Market, the nice Asian market.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You went there.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's great.
Oh good.
they had a can of silkworm pupa. So I was going to bring them and we're going to try them. Yeah.
Of what?
Silkworms.
You guys can do that. No,
it was definitely for me and Jeff, but it was like, it was a very much a dare thing. Like, are you all right?
Oh, speaking of which, no, I mean, we brought back something else for us to share at the post show. I got some foie gras.
Ooh.
Yeah, from France. So.
Hell yeah.
The post show.
Yeah. Bring out that's the ant juice for that foie gras.
Give me the jar.
Okay. So anyways, this is from Ghent, from us to you.
Oh.
And it's got the electrical tape on it. So, yeah. You know,
then we're going to take off. It's if the label doesn't say it's mustard, it's Ghent mustard. Oh.
Yeah,
it's mustard from, that everybody that we talked to who heard we were going to Ghent says you have to go get this mustard from this place.
Okay,
no, literally six people.
Yeah.
Told us to get this mustard.
They were like, you've got to go to this place. You've got to get their mustard. You're
making you've the mustard do it. For 250 years. The spoon that filled that jar is 200 years old.
Ingredients, mustardzad, azure, water, zoot.
Yep.
I assume one of those is salt, and azure, I'm not sure.
Probably vinegar.
It's from the cloud, you know.
Very cool. Yes, yeah,
it's kind of spicy. It's kind of like Dijon, but it's a lot spicier.
I would put it in the Dijon mustard.
What would you recommend I try this up?
Well, it goes like I've been putting it on. We got a jar of it. Yeah, it's really good on like a turkey and Swiss sandwich.
Okay.
Anything that you would put a Dijon mustard on is really, I would actually, if you had like a cheese board, you know, a charcuterie, it would be a really good charcuterie.
It's pretty thin. It's like it wouldn't mound up on a, kind of flow out. So it needs to be a little cup.
You would have to just, yeah.
Okay.
It's probably the wateriest mustard you'll ever see.
Interesting.
It is the most delicious. It's
like a mustard sauce almost. Like or the.
Yeah, we've got a jar of it. You can taste it.
Imagination any longer.
Just, I probably hid it from you.
Yeah, you did hide it from.
I had it hidden better. I had it hidden a lot better than that because you had already cracked it open, and I thought we were going to do it as a ceremonial type thing.
So, okay.
You just kind of dip the chopstick in, give it a little lick.
Oh, I see. So it trying to give an idea of people what the consistency is here.
It's very creamy.
Yeah, creamy sort of.
Like ranch dressing creamy.
Think, what am I trying to say?
Ranch dressing creamy.
It's thinner than that.
Yeah, it's more, it's thinner. Yeah, it's a tough one. Thinner than ranch dressing, but I see what you're saying.
I like that look.
I mean,
It's over 9,000.
It's really good.
Isn't it?
It's got that, especially the amount that I took was
yeah, you got a good amount.
And my eyes were watering a bit because it has that instant, like, sort of wasabi-like kick. But it's very tasty. But it's also got, like, the vinegary note of European mustard. Because it's spicy. Very tasty. Very tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody told us that we had to go there. And we kind of, like, we weren't even looking for the shop yet. We walked up on it like, that's the mustard shop.
Yeah, it's like, it's there, right there.
We knew we'd had to look for it, but we weren't looking for it yet.
I mean, it feels like it's surprising there's not horseradish in it because of the heat that was there.
It does have heat. And they had other flavors of mustard, didn't they?
They had a coarse mustard too, but this was the one they were famous for.
Yeah, this is their mustard that everybody goes there to get. And the one that they literally have a barrel, like a whiskey barrel, but it has a hole in the bottom of
there's
it,
a,
I guess, or
hose.
Something. Or what? How does that work?
No, it's just a
how
barrel.
How are they doing that?
With a scoop, and they'd fill your jar live, do it live. And there was a little hose and a little pour spout. They'd pump it up from downstairs into the barrel.
That's how they, okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Maybe try to pronounce this.
It's
because I'm sure that those, you know, those letters don't correspond to what the English
font is actually weirder. It's more like, it's kind of like Tyrian for Lent. You know, it's similar to that. The that font makes it harder to read then.
Because it looks like Tyrcentane your Lent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange, but tastes pretty good.
Yeah. So catch
pretty good.
So real quick, catch up on some of the trip. We did a bus tour and we went to Tyria, you know, that beer that we drank that was hazy and kind of yeasty. And
it was a peach pie.
Peach pie. We went to Ypres before that. We were supposed to go, that was the day we were supposed to go to the Westfleetern Cafe, but mm-hmm. it wasn't open. So we went to the city of Ypres,
which we loved.
World War One city. I guess the British had a big stand there. There was a huge monument to the British people, British soldiers. This, that. We went into this cathedral. And oh my God, Greg.
It brought me to tears.
Really?
As soon as I walked in the door.
Three other churches right and now. Cathedrals in Belgium. And this one was the most ornate, the most spectacular. I haven't searched to see, like, is this like one of the best in Europe kind of thing? But it's like, it is something.
It's Saint Martinez.
Martins.
Yes.
Sounds familiar. I mean, I've heard of it.
Actually, like when I was looking on Google Maps, it's like in huge letters, so it must be a pretty famous one. But the thing that was the neatest about it, it was so beautiful and.
It was like the epitome of ornate statues, column toppers.
But it wasn't like over the top. I wouldn't classify that one as an over the top. The last one that we went to was the over the top. Like they're just out for the money.
Okay, well, the one in Brussels was more modern. The one in Ypres was just all. Gothic architecture to 1,000%.
It was very classic to its time.
What
city was this? Ypres. Why?
Depends which language you want to spell it in, but try Ypres.
St. Martin's Cathedral in Belgium. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, that was
spectacular. There was a Bible in there that was in
280 years old.
Yeah.
Older than the country, just sitting there. No big deal.
Yeah, it was just in a little case.
Construction started around 1230 and finished in 1370.
Isn't that insane? And the architecture is just incredible. That whole city, all of Belgium, actually, the architecture is just, and I knew going in, before we even left for this trip, I knew that was going to be the thing that was going to catch me the most on that trip, I think. It was the architecture, because moving to Pittsburgh from Florida, I mean, Florida's got no architecture.
Right.
But moving to Pittsburgh.
Tucson.
Yeah. I remember just walking the streets, you know, for the first year mm-hmm. I would go downtown and I would just walk the streets and just stare at the architecture. And so I knew going to Belgium that was going to be a big thing for me. But mm-hmm. that church was just.
Yeah, it was wild. So that was just we were only there for like 2.5-3 hours. The time we would have spent at the cafe having lunch and getting Westfleetern beers. We did find, it was so funny, I found on maps this beer bar that was open. And I asked on the bus if the tour guide knew if it was any good. He's like, yeah, it's all right. And then apparently it was the only place open. The entire bus was there. There was one guy working.
He
was so flustered. He actually called in some help and then they got there. But like, he was expecting like 3 people for lunch and there was like 45 people.
It was a Monday. So he was expecting nobody there, you know, and it was raining, snowing. It was like 33 degrees outside.
One time when I'm sure a European would be like, I wish we had tips.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I was half expecting him to walk out, you know? I'm like, he either owns this place or he's going to walk out and say, screw this. Yeah. I'm done. But yeah, then other customers came in too, besides the people
regular lunch crowd came in, but that was only like 6 or 7 people.
But
he was just like, oh, Are you serious?
He asked me, he asked our table, like, how many more people do you have? Like, is there another 100 people coming?
You don't want to know. You really don't want to know.
Buddy.
So then when the Thierry came back, that night we were in Bruges, and I organized a side quest. I found this lambic blending place called Dust Blending. And they don't have, they didn't have public hours posted on their Google, or, and they don't have a website. They only have an Instagram. And so I went into AI and I like, and they're like, oh, places like that will take appointments. You should email them. So I emailed them. They opened up at 8 o'clock PM on a Monday night
just
for us to come in. He's like, and I, when I reached out, I'm like, you know, not trying to set up a tour for the whole group, just Shannon and I kind of thing. He's like, bring everyone you want. So he just wanted kind of a head count of who was coming. So
and we had a WhatsApp group chat.
Mm-hmm. So we brought like 20 people. Wow. And we did like a 5-beer tasting of all sour blends that they do, because they buy either finished lambic from some lambic producers or wort from other lambic producers and ferment it themselves and blend it. Place was awesome. They were hospitable. Some of the people who wanted to come didn't come because we didn't get to go to the cafe to buy the Westvleteren. That they were out in Bruges looking for some gray market Westvleteren. And at Dust Blending, I mentioned that. And they're like, we got 3 cases right there. So that's where my Westvleteren's from, is gray market from Dust Blending.
How about that?
It was so fun.
And we got a bunch of dust beers. We got like 5 dust beers downstairs you'll try over the next, you know, months.
Well, the funniest thing about, you have to talk about the how. So we staked out where Dust was before.
Oh, that morning. Before we got on the bus.
That morning. Yeah. And because we had a couple hours before we had to get on the bus. And it turns out there's not even a sign on
it's
the building.
It's a steel garage it's door. It's just a garage door.
So it's the most
if
sketchy.
You know it.
It's the most sketchy place, you know? So the big joke when we all went in as a group was, you know, we're all going in to be slaughtered. Mm-hmm. This is where we're going to die, right?
This is where Jeff gets us.
Yeah, this is where we're going to die. So we're in there and it's just a warehouse and, you know, so we're all just making all kinds of jokes. And then there's this room inside of that room that is like, it's all glass and you couldn't, we looked, there was a group of us looking for a door to get into that room. And we're like, there's no door. This is the most sketchy place because there is not even a door. And it was like this really sanitary, you know, that's where they did all of the actual blending stuff, you know. So it was very sanitary, which was great.
It looked like a kill room.
Yeah. And of course, you know, because it's a warehouse, they have the floor drains and they have hoses everywhere because it is a, you know, brewery blending place, whatever. So we're just all like, we're going to definitely die here, and it's going to be in that room that we can't find the door to. And
I missed that whole part of the conversation.
Yeah, you did. You were up talking. So then I went up to the guy because I was like, I gotta find out where the door is. So I went up and I asked, and he's like, oh, it's right over here. And it was very hidden, but it was just part of like the frame and the glass and the way it just like, you know, went together. You couldn't tell that
they were so hospitable.
They were so
nice. They opened
up
for us,
and we didn't die.
No,
we
you're here.
Die.
You want to empty that out? So that was Bruges. There's 2 breweries in Bruges. I have them on, which makes remember Bruges Zot. We've had on the show. It was a beer that the Jester on the front, and it came in that steel tin, that little golden tin that we had on the shelf back at the old place. They also make Strafe Hendrick, which is a pretty good series of beers. They had a wild Strafe Hendrick that I enjoyed quite a bit. Oh, Shannon, I got to give you some of my beer. I shorted you.
You don't. That's fine. Okay. That's fine. I need to step away for 1 second, though.
All right.
Talk about math or something.
That's not the post show yet. This is a Pear 2021 Harvest from Hill Farmstead Brewing. This is a farmstead ale aged in oak barrels with pears.
You definitely smell the oak.
Dessert and Siberian pears from the Elmore Roots Nursery in Elmore, Vermont. Bottle conditioning since February 10th, 2022.
I mean, the oak comes through strong.
Yeah. Has kind of a Chardonnay or, yeah, yes, like a Chardonnay kind of nose to it. It's not quite as buttery, though, but it is oaky like a Chardonnay.
Now some of the pear is starting to come through as I break through that oakiness. A little bit of that sort of dusty Saison thing that does smell very nice.
The pear and the oak are kind of blending to give me a sweetness on the aroma I wasn't expecting. Now it's getting dusty. You beat me to the dust term. Yeah, definitely. I smelled that kind of leathery, kind of like old horse reins, kind of like not horse blanket, but like old like leather tools,
like a strope.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm getting more of the fruity pearness, kind of like. No, they said that the dessert and Siberian pears. I'm not a pear expert, but I do get a kind of like an underripe Bartlett pear kind of aroma.
So the dessert pears, they say, are Stacy, Luscious, Summer Crisp, and Nova. For any of you who are pear experts.
Are they talking about different types of pears?
Different types of pears. Wow. All organically grown by Elmore Roots Nursery in nearby Elmore, Vermont.
Oh, boy. That's something.
Oh, wait.
It's tart.
Oh.
Yeah, smell
I'm
it.
I'm just smelling.
Let's let Shannon catch up on the smell.
Definitely very peary. I don't know what I would pair this with, but it's definitely peary.
So, I mean, don't let the pears influence your...
Okay.
It's oak age, too. So smell it. Think white wine. Think Chardonnay or something. Smell it like that and smell it again.
I still smell pear.
Okay. Right.
I don't smell any barrel.
So pear, kind of like apple, goes well with meat. Mm-hmm. Bulgogi, which is Korean marinated beef, pear is used as like the sweetener. So
I didn't know that.
So when I'm thinking this, I'm thinking like, would this go well with something like a bulgogi or something with a... You know, with a little spicy meat and maybe soy sauce and something else.
Got me missing the food truck.
Taste it yet?
Not yet, but taste now it. I'm really. Ooh. It's got a little tartness, but not so much that it makes you go.
Yeah, it's got tartness to cut through some food, which is why I'm thinking about food pairing.
Ooh. Now I taste. Like on the back end, it's kind of a soy sauce type of a taste.
There's a little like, to me, it's almost like gingery.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, gingery, because it's kind of, it's kind of got a bit of, I don't even know what the word is I would use. A spritzy, like...
It is lively. I mean, there's lots of carbonation.
Yeah. But well, there's like a pickled ginger kind of thing at the end.
Yeah. That what ginger does like to a drink spice when you add it to any kind of.
Yeah. The last sip I took, the breath started coming through. So you kind of get a little bit of that, like, you know, funky.
But it's a very ooh, minor funk. It's great. It's well done. It's really well done.
This is fantastic. It's very well executed. This is. Definitely the best beer so far on the show.
And we've had this sitting in the fridge for years.
I know. Like, how many more Hill Farmstead? I was going to ask you.
How many more? Another seven or so.
Seriously? Because it seems like we've had a lot of Hill Farmstead on the show.
We have. We bought a lot of Hill Farmstead.
We need to go back. That place rocks.
We have to go back.
I think we drank all the Oxbow. I think the Oxbow is gone.
What?
I don't know. There might be some more Oxbow back there, but I think
I thought you meant the brewery was closed when you said Oxbow's gone. I hope not.
No, we drank all the Oxbow, I think. We got a fair amount of Allagash. We got a fair amount of Hill Farmstead still.
Shit, we got to go back to New England.
Yeah. There's lots of places we need to go. We need to go back to Belgium, too.
Yeah, but New England, and then and 6 months later, we'll go back to Belgium.
All right, so on the trip, Bruges is the whole town is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's fucking beautiful, picturesque as hell. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's super safe. You can walk there at 3 a.m. No worries of anything. It's super cool.
That time of year, I mean, it's still decorated for Christmas mm-hmm. and stuff. So the holiday lights and everything, all the buildings, those beautiful buildings were decorated with lights. And yep. it was just gorgeous. It made it even better that it snowed, which they never get snow.
If they get snow, it melts away as soon as the sun comes up.
Yeah.
And this was the first time in like 4 years where snow stayed the whole day.
Of course, it followed us. And also
the first time in even longer that they got multiple inches of snow.
Wow.
And multiple days. Yeah. Not just one day. But it made everything even more beautiful because it had snow on it, you know? So it was just like a picture perfect movie or postcard. I guess
the one last thing about Bruges, we stopped at this cocktail bar called the Speakeasy. And the bartender was so cool. And we actually met some other people that weren't on the tour from the United States, actually from like New York. I won't bore everyone listening with the connections that we had. But the mom had a little too much to drink and bought everybody at the bar a bartender's choice off menu drink.
Yeah.
So this guy made us these amazing things based on what our preferences were and stuff like that.
Yeah. He just kind of read, you know, based on what we got already. And
he asked us some questions about what we like cocktail wise.
Yeah. And then made us drinks. And that was really good. He loved it. He was, by the end, he was like, now nobody can come in and do that again tonight because I'm at my end.
He's out of inspiration.
Yeah.
But it's kind of place where if there's a party of 10 people that comes in, he'll send them away. Because it takes him like 5 minutes to make a drink.
Yeah.
And
he said it's all about quality, not quantity.
He stops drinking for 6 months at a time.
Yeah.
So he was actually in his dry period. So when I told him about the improved whiskey cocktail, he's like, that sounds... I'll write it down, but I'm not going to drink it.
So remind me again of the improvement. I know there's a little bit of absinthe as a wash.
Yeah, it's rye, Luxardo, cherry liqueur.
I know there's Luxardo.
Peychaud bitters instead of Angostura, but I like doing half and half. And then you can add some simple. I add like probably a quarter ounce of simple. Little.
Yeah.
And then just a spritz of absinthe.
Because I tried to make something similar. I put some absinthe in, spread around, poured out the rest.
Yeah.
I used Luxardo. I think it was Maker's Mark. It wasn't a rye. And I'm pretty sure I just used
Angostura. Yeah, that's going to change
it. It was okay. Mm-hmm. But I think like you made it better. Maybe it was just the addition.
I've made it with barley bourbon. I don't think I've made it with wheat. This is degrees of excellent, right? You know, so I wouldn't use Maker's specifically for it because that's a wheated bourbon. Rye, that spiciness seems to help. You know, that's the reason the Michener's is right up there. Mm-hmm. So I can make improved whiskey cocktails.
So like, I have some like malted like malt bourbon.
That'd probably be better than the wheat. Mm. And then yeah, so it's like half ounce of Luxardo, quarter to half ounce of simple based on how you like it.
I think it needed the simple.
Yeah.
Just a tad though.
Yeah, but I think it needed the simple.
And it's 2 ounces of rye.
It depends. Yeah, so. It also depends on how much absinthe you're going to put in it.
It was just like a rinse.
Yeah.
I want to get a little spritz bottle for my
absinthe. Yeah, I think that's the better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I try to do it with a bar spoon. But I'd rather put it in a spritz bottle because I'm never going to need more.
Because it's all about aerosolization. That's really what you want the absinthe for. It's just there for the aroma and stuff that you get from the absinthe.
So great cocktail bar. That'll put a bow on Bruges.
Oh yeah.
One of the things is we didn't want to be the drunkards who didn't do anything cultural on the trip. But the weather is like, you should just go drink more beer, you know, because the weather was pretty bad.
It was pretty shitty.
The beer, it's, I mean.
Yeah. That's what we were.
Beer is culture.
Primarily there for, right?
I know. And then we did a day trip to Ghent. Ghent
was my favorite place. Well, I loved Ypres too.
Ypres is where this came from.
Yep.
Yes.
That's where that came from.
And Ghent is such a quaint. Well, Ypres is too. Yeah. I loved it. It was just, I think the architecture was even more interesting than Bruges and Ypres, definitely better than Brussels. Brussels is just a very...
There's the historic square. I mean,
it's the capital,
square.
So it's just, mm-hmm. you know.
There's the Grand Place, the Grand Place, the historic square. That place is beautiful.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff around there. But then it's also the capital of Belgium and the head, the seat of the EU, right? So there's so much more modern city stuff there, mm-hmm. you know. So.
And it's also just not very safe when you go outside of the square. But no, Ghent was... I do think that Ghent was my favorite.
Ghent's a college town.
I would have gone to CERN, but that's just me.
I mean, if we
would have... We weren't anywhere near Geneva.
If we would have had other opportunities, but we did have the one day that we ended up... So, but that's moving fast forwarding. Yeah. So, yeah.
So Ghent didn't have... they had one brewery. We had lunch there. It was called Dock Brewing. It was the most like American brew pub kind of thing, actually in a food hall kind of place. But Greg... I had the best meal I expect I will ever have at a brewery.
That was phenomenal.
It was a classic Belgian lunch. It was smoked pork. It was ribs, but it was below the bony part. So there was a little bit of cartilage, but you could usually just eat it. It was, I forget what they put in the mashed potatoes.
Oh, I could tell you.
What was in the potatoes, not on the potatoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
You had to ask.
Forget what's in the potatoes. On the potatoes was fried capers and quinoa.
I was the one who figured that out.
Then they had an endive, quartered endive that was grilled and then dressed and stuff like mm-hmm. that. It was so
the cabbage.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that was called?
It was endive, yeah.
Oh, okay. It was so good.
Tell us that you can make it home.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, other than the seasonings and everything that made it so damn good. But
the potatoes were to die for.
It's something to work on, for sure. And, you know, I've been to over 400 breweries. Easily the best brewery meal I've ever had.
I mean, the trick to restaurant potatoes is get to put one of those sieves and push your potatoes through it so that it really fluffs up and separates. Mm-hmm. And then I would definitely add some kind of beef fat or something to it to give it a little bit.
There was another...
Yeah, there was some kind of, like, it wasn't cardamom.
I don't remember at all.
Shit.
I think there was another vegetable in there. I don't know if it was cauliflower. I don't know.
There was a seasoning, though.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think I'll ever have a better brewery meal. And I think I'm only going to have a handful of better meals mm-hmm. in my life, the kind of thing. Like, it was the best.
It was so good. Yeah. That brewery was fun, too. It was a lot of fun.
It was a nice break. I mean... I didn't want to drink IPAs and stuff.
Yes.
But this was like on the quality of Dancing Gnome or better kind of brewery. So they had some IPAs. Shannon drank the IPAs. They had three Grisettes on, so I drank all of those.
Yeah, in hindsight, I would have drank something different because by the end of the trip, I was like, Belgian beers all the way. No more IPA.
Yeah.
I'm sold on Belgian beers and... not drinking anything else.
Want to change the subject very quickly.
Yeah.
I think you've asked before what a Chicago hot dog is.
Pickles.
Yeah, I just have
and
a picture.
And mustard.
There's
no ketchup. There's no mayonnaise. Pickle and mustard and what? I can't. Tomato.
Yeah, tomato slices, relish. Onions. Yeah, no ketchup, no mustard.
I thought there peppers. Was mustard.
There may be mustard. There's definitely no ketchup.
There's definitely no ketchup.
Neon relish, pickles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's jalapenos here. It's peppers.
No,
nice.
Onions. But yeah, that was, I forget where that was. I think that was from a food truck, but that was a pretty decent approximation of a Chicago-style hot dog.
What's that place down in Homestead that has the different hot dogs? That's next to that, like... an LL Bean, but tiny version, like that has hiking equipment, REI type.
I don't know of a hot dog place.
Yeah, no, it's just like, yeah, you do. Six something.
6-7?
Yeah. 6-7.
No, six. Maybe it's not in Homestead. Where is that?
Talking about D's?
Yes.
Regent Square
is Homestead.
Yeah.
There's one on the way here. There's one like, or is it
the one
by Westmoreland in that area?
There's a D's?
There was one in Monrovia. I don't think it's there anymore. No, it's a Dad's Pub and Grub now.
No, there's a D's. I passed it.
There's a D's here.
Yeah.
Close.
Now, where is it? Let's see.
They have great hot dogs in all different styles, including Chicago.
Yeah, they do a Chicago style for sure. They have the neon green relish. That's the most authentic Chicago one.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
The one in Murraysville. Okay.
Yeah. Jeff Bear. We haven't been there.
You've been there. You have.
To that one?
Yes. Then we would live in the city and go do hiking and stuff out in the
lower. Oh, okay. But since we've lived here, we haven't been there. No, we haven't. Okay.
All right. I forgot about it. 13 miles away, which is probably
45 minutes.
Yeah, about a half hour.
All right. Our next beer is Nancy from Allagash. This is a tart red ale fermented with
mean cherries
and Brett.
Mean cherries. Open
cautiously. The contents are under pressure. I wonder
what the difference in the flavor is between nice cherries and mean cherries. Mean cherries, I can tell you right now, just on the nose, they're tart.
The Brett is apparent. It's kind of a funky cherry here, like almost horse blanket.
Yes.
Maine grown Balaton and Montmorency cherries.
Dusty leather.
This is the Allagash?
Yep. Nancy.
Nancy.
Wow. You lost your soundboard.
Now I'm getting a little bit of like washed rind cheese aroma.
Wow.
Haven't got to the cherries yet.
You haven't gotten to the...
No, it's there. It's there underneath everything. The
cheese is what I'm smelling right now.
Wow.
It's there. It's kind of right in the middle.
I'm getting like big Limburger cheese vibes right now.
No, I'm getting that too, but I'm like, I feel like there's like... If you imagine the... I'm so going to try to vocalize and also express what I'm saying. So
an aroma pyramid.
There's cherries at the bottom like a stick, and then it grows up like a Y, and then in that Y, there's that cheesiness and Limburger and stuff like that. But at the bottom in the center is that cherriness.
Oh, now I got the cherries. Almost, yeah. Kind of like a cherry cordial is what I smelled.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Now, see,
covered with stinky cheese.
Yes, it's covered.
I don't get the. Well, I don't be happy you don't get the stinky cheese. No, it's not the kind of cheese happy. You like. No, I know.
All right. Well,
yeah, it smells like a Roquefort.
I'm not going to smell it anymore because I don't want to smell it. It smells a little bit cheese.
Like the Roquefort I have in the fridge.
It smells like what?
Roquefort.
Blue cheese.
Blue cheese.
Oh, okay.
But a really funky blue cheese. Mm-hmm.
It's not as tart or funky on the flavor. It's kind of a dry. It's surprisingly.
Fart. What's this is really good. Ooh. This is really good. The cherry is really bright,
but
good.
Not it's sweet for what it is, but it's not like a sweet cherry.
No.
It's a bright, saturated cherry flavor.
It's more cherry pie-esque than a fresh cherry.
Pie filling. There's a cherry pie filling kind of vibe.
Now, see, I think a cherry pie filling is still too tart and too sweet.
Okay.
If you can imagine those two.
Well, yeah, it's not really sweet, but it's
mild.
The flavor of the cherry that's coming through.
Yeah, in a mild way.
Yeah.
With a hint of that Jolly Rancher kind of thing.
Yeah. It's well put together for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
There's an underneath, there's some warming spices. Like there's a cinnamon and clove thing going.
I can, yeah, no, I'm on the third or fourth sip. And
I don't think they're actually in there. And just like, it's sort of implying them. So like, even their absence sort of makes me feel, makes me taste them.
Mm-hmm. So then after our day trip to Ghent, we packed up out of the hotel and took the bus to not really like southern Belgium, but like on the west side. We're serious down in Wallonia, which is the French-speaking part of Belgium, cross the border into France again and go to Brasserie El Baron.
In a snowstorm.
The trip should have taken us 2 hours. It took us three.
We weren't supposed to be there.
Had to reroute because I guess France wasn't allowing large vehicles into France.
And we were on this big, massive bus.
But Alberont was pretty cool, kind of doing a lot of saisons and things like that. The place is 60 meters from the border. So like in their backyard, there's these two flags, a French flag and a Belgian flag. And that's That was a good time. The bus couldn't get to the brewery because of the snow, so we had to park up the hill and walk like a half mile to the brewery.
After the bus had to back up.
Wow.
So that was fun.
It was a really interesting. I mean, there's so much more about the story, but it was really cool.
I
want to
kind of keep it brief because I think we're kind of running out of
time.
I had lunch, had rabbit and plums. That was good. Went to another brewery.
You had rabbit and plums.
Yeah, you had a burger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with rabbit and plums?
She didn't want rabbit.
I don't know why.
I tasted it, remember?
Yeah, and you liked it. Tastes like squirrel.
I don't know what squirrel tastes like. I know what gator tastes like. I don't know what squirrel tastes like.
It's just another...
Yeah, I just didn't want to order it as my meal. I didn't want to eat rabbit.
Then the next day,
they're fluffy
my bucket list was fulfilled. No.
Deer are fluffy and cute and they taste great.
No, they are tick-ridden.
They don't taste great. Deer are kind of gross. I mean, it's fine. You can prepare it with enough butter. It might taste good.
Yeah.
Cows are cute, though.
Deer's not.
Cows are very cute. And they taste fantastic.
Well, they really do.
All right. So the next day.
Calves are even cuter and veal's even better.
Guys, you're taking away from my most important part of my story.
Sorry.
You were getting somewhere, actually? Yeah.
Ever since I got into beer and learned about Belgian beers and sour beers, my bucket list was go to Cantillon.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it.
You're getting teary-eyed, too. A
little bit. It moved me to tears.
Need some mustard?
Kind of weird, but Cantillon was amazing. The whole brewery is belt-driven. They have one electric motor, and then belts run the pumps and the motors and the stirring, rakes and the mash tun and everything. And the tour was super cool. The crazy thing, Greg, the tour, ours had a tour guide, but most of the people go on a self-guided tour. You can walk around the brewing vessels while they're brewing. Just like you can walk anywhere. It's so crazy.
There's nothing stopping you from going anywhere.
Just jumping in and...
No,
you can stick your finger in the thing, yeah.
Yeah, no, and there's these... Like on the second floor I don't know what they were doing on that floor, but there were two holes in the floor that were like 1.5.
It was the top of the brew kettle.
And centimeter, huh?
It was the top of the brew kettle, that floor.
That floor was
the brew kettle was set between floors.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So there were these holes in the floor that a toddler could fall through.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing.
Yeah, don't take your toddler to the brewery.
No, don't take it. But you can. And you can actually give them alcohol in Belgium and you won't get in trouble. Like, you can sit at a restaurant.
You could, if you thought it was okay to give your 1-year-old a sip of beer at a restaurant,
it's fine.
It's not against the law.
I mean, technically, you could do that here too.
No, you can't. You can get arrested.
For that here.
Yes. And your children will get taken away from you. It is completely illegal.
Okay.
Until they're 21, you're not. No,
I get that. Like, but
no, they.
My dad would always give me like a sip of his beer.
No, but if you were at a restaurant,
if someone who cared caught you in the United States, you'd get in trouble and go to jail.
Yeah.
If someone in Belgium who cared,
it doesn't matter. They can just make a stink.
They can't do anything about it. It's okay.
It's actually legal. But there's like OSHA is not a thing. It can't be,
which was so surprising because you think that Europeans are so progressive in the regulations for pollution and things like that workplace safety doesn't seem to be the same.
It's not. It's weird. No, it's definitely not. Like the
well, at the same time, an injury in Belgium probably doesn't cost nearly as much to the person as an injury in America.
For sure. No, that's definitely a good point. And I don't think there's any such thing as liability and liability insurance there. If there is, I'm shocked because I saw so many things where I was like, man, like how is this business in business? Because one slip, like there's these stairs, these narrow little stairs that are just steep and narrow and they're made out of slate. And you're walking through snow, and then you have to walk down these slate steps, you know? And
ADA compliance.
Nothing. No, definitely not. And though in Brussels, our we were on the seventh floor in our hotel, and the window opened like a door, like a cabinet door, like opened inward like a door. And there was nothing stopping you from just
plummeting
to your death. Yourself.
Back in the good old days.
I'm like, a two-year-old could climb up the chair and just right out, gone, dead. Everywhere
I guess
like
2-year-olds in Belgium just don't feel like doing that.
I mean, like, enough. I don't know. It's something where it just doesn't matter. We went to St. Bernardus and there were kids like 4 or 5 or maybe 6 max years old on skateboards. And
the parking area is subterranean underneath the brewery. So you pull into the area and there's this ramp.
The parking garage underneath the building.
There's these two kids riding their Razor scooters up and down the ramp. Mm-hmm. The brewery kids were riding their scooters on the parking ramp.
when we grew up, parents, you know, didn't know where we were.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, it took me back. And that's what I was telling Jeff on the trip. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I feel like I just went back in time to the point when I was a child. And like, if you got hurt, well, tough shit. You live and learn or you die, so you know, kind of thing.
The St. Bernardus story is a little funnier because we're joking about the ramp kids, right? We get in the elevator and there's an elevator kid. He's just riding the elevator up and down.
Sounds like me when I was a kid. I would have done that.
Like, no parents around.
It's so funny. We're joking about the ramp kids. We thought that was a thing. And, oh, look, there's an elevator kid,
and that
too.
Was at the beginning of the trip. And then we find, you know, like, everything else is just like, there's no...
Especially about the time that I guess I was around 5 and the National Zoo, my parents lost me. Couldn't find me. They had no idea where I was. Eventually turned out I was at the, I think it was the primate house, and I was opening the door for people.
Aww.
You did tell me that. That's funny.
That was so sweet. And you were getting all these, thank you. You're such a good boy. You're so sweet.
I think what a little gentleman. I just know that when I was a kid, I was obsessed with like buttons and stuff like that. And,
So yeah, definitely checked off that bucket list. Cantillon. I don't have a second brewery. I don't have a next bucket list. I don't know what it's going to be. I have to figure it out. And then one last story. The last coolest thing we did on our free day in Brussels. Shannon and I took the train down towards Lambic, and we went to this brewery called Lambic Fabrique, relatively new Lambic brewery. They were open early on the day we were there. We walk in, there's one guy, we met him, his name's Joseph, and we spent the next 3.5 hours bullshitting with Joseph and tasting all their beers, and it was the best time. Just like we got to learn a lot about all kinds of stuff. The conversation was wide ranging, and it was like, you know, the best connection we had with a local kind of thing. Right. And we were aligned with, you know, the love of beer. We walked in and he's like, you know, it's sour beer, right? Like, you know what Lambic is, right? Like, yes.
Yeah, it was this place. It's not loading totally right now, but
Lambic Fabrique.
Yeah.
We have one beer from that for you to try later on.
Oh, did we get a beer?
Yeah. We're going to open it for the bottle share, but then I decided to share some of the St. Bernardus's and bring home the Lambic Fabrique, which after tasting the St. Bernardus, it seemed like probably a good decision.
Good move.
I'm trying to
Funny. We drank a couple of those bottles. We had some on the bus on the way back to the airport. Those were fine.
Did we have some on the bus on the way?
I had the Noel.
Oh, that's right.
The 12.
I thought we had.
The Noel and the 12 are both good. So there's some hope for the beers that are downstairs.
That's right.
They're still good. You guys have one more in you?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I was just trying to find the name of the town that we went to for that Lambic Fabrique.
This next one's a local collaboration of a bunch of breweries that they brewed on their 10th anniversary. Hitchhiker, Dancing Gnome, Brew Gentlemen all share their 10th anniversary along with the Beers of the Berg Beer Festival. So that's why it's 10-4.
Because it was the spring of 2014.
Yep, 10 years, 4 entities.
10-4, buddy.
It's a blend of 3 Imperial Stouts aged in oak, Old Fitzgerald from Brew Gentlemen, Heaven Hill from Grist House, and Maggie's Farm Dark Rum from Hitchhiker.
I swear the place
11.3%. So
yeah, we'll go light and then. Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
I swear the place that we took the bus to started with an L, or I mean an R.
Doesn't matter.
I know, it's just annoying.
Immediately big roast and licorice. Not that there's licorice in here, but it's that's the...
Yeah. So a blend of three different imperial stouts. It's boozy as fuck on the nose.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like that rum's coming through, the Maggie's Farm dark rum. Mm.
A little bit. I mean, the first thing that I put a name to is chicory. A kind of a woody, spicy thing.
Totally see it. Get out that wood for
the alcohol's a lot. Like the ethanol nose is really squashing a lot.
I don't think there's a lot of ethanol in mine.
Yeah, yours is more fusel than mine.
Yeah, mine's more chocolatey, like a dark chocolate, really dark chocolate. You want a
blendy blend?
Yeah, blendy blend.
All right, we're going to blendy blend. The patented CBR blendy blend. When we get bottle stratification like this, we're going to take all three of our samples, pour it into one glass.
And hope we don't have any communicable diseases.
Yep, and then pour them back
into... Well, hopefully we didn't bring anything back from
the other two glasses. The patented blendy blend.
Have I mentioned... I'm sure I mentioned this to you guys...
That you brought back a communicable disease from somewhere.
Yeah, oh yeah. I hope you guys love herpes 12. Yeah. No, I meant to ask this to mainframe class too, but I'm the only person I know who hasn't had COVID.
You haven't had COVID?
We lasted a long time. I lasted long enough that I thought maybe I'm immune, but then I got it twice. So
yeah,
I've been in situations where I was sure I would get it. And I haven't got it. Now, either I'm incredibly lucky which I find unfathomable.
Right.
Or I've had it, but I've never known it.
Yeah.
Well, the second time I got COVID, or was it the first time? Second time I got COVID, I was pretty surprised that it was COVID. Like, it didn't seem like it at all.
Yeah, so. Anyways, or...
But I started thinking about this back when, I guess, when was the time when you helped me get the job at Free Markets? Do you remember when that was?
That was way before COVID.
Yes, it was like way before COVID. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know when it was.
But it was like, it was around 2000, because I remember September 11th happened when I was working at Free Markets, and...
That was like way back.
Yeah. But I had a really strong respiratory illness at around that time that knocked me down and my friend Shane down, who was living with me at the time. Mm-hmm. And it took like 2 weeks to get back. And I remember like I was talking like this for a while. Just I didn't like have any, didn't hurt, but it was like that was
a coronavirus that.
My question is, could it have been something sort of related and similar I have antibodies for now because of that?
Yeah, quite possibly. Because, I mean, if you look at a Lysol can, if you looked at a Lysol can from back in 2019, mm-hmm. it has something about it. Killing the coronavirus. Oh, sure.
There's tons of coronavirus.
I mean, there was...
It's whole,
yeah, different whole variants of
and that was that, so far prior to. I don't think, unless you're a special specimen, I don't think your immunity would have held for long enough to do that. You know, I've tested positive twice, but I suspect that I've had it three times. I think I had it before it had a name. Mm. I got so sick in.
It was in January.
Was it January? January 2020. Before shutdown, before people were talking about this weird thing that's happening in Asia, you know, like.
But it was literally right before.
It's the sickest I've ever been. It was when I was, you know, still living in Cranberry in the same house as the ex. Mm-hmm.
But you were
not getting along.
Living separately.
And Shannon actually came up after the ex. You had
didn't
gone
even
to work
hear me come in. That's how. His fever was insane. I didn't have a thermometer, but it had to be 104. Had to be 104.
Lucky I did.
He was completely unconscious.
It wasn't
the flu. It wasn't strep. It wasn't the flu. They tested you for everything they could test you for.
So I might have got the first COVID.
You might be patient zero.
But
zero is someone else at Microsoft. But
yeah, so that was the thing, because what I was doing was going, okay, so who's traveled, recently to Seattle? And Seattle's a big hub.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm not profiling, don't get me wrong, but like, a lot of people are coming in from Asia, and all of these different countries.
Do you know who Pittsburgh, do you know what Pittsburgh's sister city is?
What Pittsburgh's what?
Sister city.
Oh, no.
Wuhan, China. No, I'm serious. It is.
Well, it came through the wormhole.
It came through. So, no, that was definitely... But
it was really amusing when I found that out.
I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all.
All right. So flavor on this guy, on the 10-4, it's what I want in an Imperial Stout. It's just big, boozy, roasty. There's a lot of vanillinoids in there. It's...
Oh, yeah.
From the various oaks.
A lot of vanilla on the taste. I like the booziness of this. A lot.
Yeah, it's what I want.
It's got a barrel taste.
Might
to
go
it.
Really well with foie gras. Just saying.
We could wrap this right now and we could go to the post show. I guess we'll rank.
What I'm suggesting is that we don't drink all of this.
Oh, yeah, right. We wrap the show.
You guys can do what you want. I'm not eating that shit.
Why not?
It's just duck. It's happy duck.
Yeah.
Have you ever had
a sad duck? It's dead. It's in a can or a jar.
You ever had anything like foie gras before?
I've had snail.
No. This is.
I thought you meant in terms of like crazy, stupid shit.
This is a delicacy of the highest order.
Nope.
You said that about rabbit, and you're like, oh, that rabbit's not.
But this is not rabbit. This is.
I'm not.
This is. I implore you to try some.
Do it for Greg, not for your husband.
Because
I'm already broke into the
It is one of the most delicious ingredients on earth. So delicious that that people don't like making it because of how stressful it is on the animals and it's possibly torture. But
it's still good.
It is. I mean, it. If you've been at a fancy restaurant, you've almost certainly had it in some sense. It's just like been integrated into food you've had because it's that good. It's,
they better not stink that shit in my food.
You just need to get over yourself and eat it.
Yeah, just like this is not like stuff made of ants or shit like that. This is stuff made of.
I'm from the South. We eat gator. We don't eat foie gras.
Well, you should start.
All right. Let's get on to some ranking here. Man. We'll badger Shannon in the post show.
That's not nice.
I'm going to include the beers before the Audible.
Are you?
The St. Bernardus Pater 6 is going to be the last place.
I feel like that's not fair to rank them.
It to me. It's fair. I bought it a week ago. It's
yeah,
fair.
Yeah, but no, I don't think it was because of them. I think it had everything to do with the flight, the fact that it wasn't able to sit long enough, and the fact that it wasn't chilled long enough.
No, I just feel like it wasn't with the intended. I feel like
they should have a better gift shop. It's their fault. It's last place.
Wow.
You can...
Rude.
Fight me about it.
I mean, it was the worst of the bunch.
I ranked it as the worst one, too. But
and then I'm going to have to put... Not. And this one I'll be more sensitive to, but I'm going to put the Triple Terrier in
second to last place.
And that one is probably because it was not settled properly. It wasn't clarified, but it is what it is. Then from there, it gets pretty hard. I'm going to put the Santa I Know Him in the next spot.
Mm-hmm.
Beer is a good drinker, but it's not a good talker on the shower. It's a drinker, not a shower. I don't know. Don't ask me if it grows. just wasn't...
probably not as a can.
Wasn't, compared to the rest of the beers, it didn't stand up. And now the top four were beers to talk about.
Yeah.
The... I'm going to have to put the Orgy and Brass, the Paradigm Emirat, mm-hmm. in fourth place. Super good. Had that herbal hop, Quebec hops in it, some new varietals that we're not super familiar with. But the beer told a story. It evolved. It had good flavors. Now, the hard call, top three.
This is where I think that everyone's going to be have a different
opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. The first four, I think we all agree.
Against my instincts, I'm going to put the 10-4 in third place.
Really?
I am. The sour beers spoke to me tonight. Mm-hmm. The tart ones spoke to me. They're all awesome. This 10-4 is awesome. We got some more. We're going to have it with Fagua. But the Nancy is going to be my second place beer. That's the Brett Cherry one. And that pear is going to be my top beer. Yeah. The way the pears played, the way that was kind of wine-like at the beginning, the oak came through, the pears came through, then the Brett came through. It was really a masterful... I didn't tell the story. It told the story. And that's why I get top billing.
Mm-hmm. I'm in agreement. Switch to top two.
Okay.
I feel like... I totally agree with you about the pear. I think it was fantastic. The Nancy spoke to me more.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about that was just... I mean, perfect for what I wanted at the time. And just absolutely delicious. I really, really enjoyed the hell out of Nancy. Everything else, I completely agree with you. And if you are ranking the St. Bernard, it goes here. But I don't even think that it should be ranked just because I feel like it's against what the brewer intended.
I'm going to agree with you on the bottom four.
Okay.
And then the top... bottom... four. And then we're going to put this one here. Yeah.
All right.
So it's going to be the pear is the top one for me. 10-4.
In second place
because that was just, I'm going to enjoy this for a while and not with the whatever Fagua.
Do it.
No. You try it.
I don't think so. Then Nancy, man, that one was so good. Like, I could almost put that at the top, but no. Pear.
Could almost put it at the top,
but I'm not.
I could, but I'm not.
You
can like,
do anything you want.
I'm going to marry Nancy, okay? We'll just do it. I'm marrying Nancy. I'm fucking That's hard.
Yeah, see?
That's a real hard one, right?
That one, I don't know. Can I fuck two different ones?
A
threesome.
I mean, we can't kink shame here, so like, yeah, I guess you can.
Can I fuck pair and 10-4?
I mean, if that's how you're going to do it.
I'll be slutty. That's fine. I'll be slutty. And then I can't kill anybody because I don't think it's fair.
One of the pink, one of the stink.
I don't think it's fair.
They sold it at the gift shop last week.
They did.
They should have done better.
I guess I'm going to have to. God.
It's not like we bought it on the shelf here in Pittsburgh where it sat at an importer. I bought it at the brewery.
I know, but it was so good on tap at the brewery. Mm-hmm. But we're going to kill the six.
Yeah. All right. I am going to fuck the 10-4. I am going to...
At least he fucks one of the ones that I liked about.
Mary's hard. Like, can I live up the expectations of marrying the pear? I don't know. I might have to marry the Origine Brass, the hoppy one.
Just the IPA?
I don't know.
That lonely IPA?
I want to have a menage a quatre with the Nancy, the 10-4, and the pear.
See, he's going to step above me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not that slutty. I'm going to kill the St. Bernardus because I'm not giving them any leniency. They sold that to me at the gift shop. They should make sure the beer is fresh.
It's a gift shop.
They should make sure the beer is fresh.
Yeah, they should. I agree. Okay, but well, it was sold by something 2027, okay. August 2027.
Then they should have better processes.
What was the date that you couldn't figure out?
They need better processes then. Something. they it's their fault.
St. Bernard's being already dead twice. I'm going to kill the triple.
Thierry.
Yeah.
Oh. It's okay. Where's the sound effects for that one?
I don't have the sad trombone.
I do. Bum, bum, bum. Somewhere.
Oh, wait. I do.
Blue. There you go. Feel that way about the St. Bernardus too.
Going to marry. Like Nancy caught my eye. What can I say?
If you
Nancy.
Can keep her, that's a good Mary.
Yeah.
And that's the one I married, isn't it?
And if you're gonna fuck, you're gonna fuck something strange, right? You're gonna get some real strange. So the paradigm,
Yeah, Greg can't commit to hobby, so he's gotta just get in and out.
Yeah, like you know,
he doesn't.
You want something that's...
You don't want to be stuck with a hobby.
You want to be something that you want to see, like yeah, you do, but you do want to get like
a little hobby.
Yeah, you want to get a taste. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
I got you.
Wow. It's almost 2 hours. Thank you, everyone, if you're still listening.
If you're still listening, you're Greg, awesome.
Thanks for listening, Greg. And
hope you're enjoying your
post-show still. There'll be some foie gras, apparently, and some time
and
floor.
Not.
And you're going to try it. You know you will. All right. Everyone, thank you for listening. Greg, roll the outro music. Cooper, chill out. There's no one out there. Thanks, everyone. And we're going to make this a normal thing in 2026.
Yeah.
That's our New Year's resolution.
It is. Good night.
Good night.